Well, would you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. And once again, it's just so great to see you all. This next Sunday is the 4th of July, and it's, I don't know what plans you have. Our fireworks are moving away, not moving away, they're going to be gone for that Sunday. Dan almost always puts on a little fireworks display in Fullerton where it's legal to do that. So don't bring your fireworks here, please. If you live in Whittier, please don't do them in Whittier. I'm not going to be doing any in Whittier. I have a Whittier police officer now living right across the street from me. So I was thinking about freedom this week as I was listening to a favorite podcast that takes me into a little bit of a 1 hour or less journey into some history that I have not been familiar with. It comes from Hillsdale College, Larry Arn, the president, and some other people that he brings on. But over the last 2 weeks, in an interview, they've been talking about Alexis de Tocqueville. Alexis de Tocqueville. Have you heard of him? Frenchman back in the 18th century, and what a really interesting person who wrote a book. He's a Frenchman who wrote a history book about the history of democracy in America. He came over here on the heels of the French Revolution. After the storming of the Bastille by peasants because they were out of bread and France was dominated by a monarchy and an autocracy that was just oppressive. And so revolution, which is always a scary thing. Heads were rolling, and the revolution produced some good things, and it produced some really horrible things. But de Tocqueville wrote this book on the history of democracy, or just democracy in America. He wrote it in France, in French, and it was a bestseller that's been translated into many, many languages because it was, as he came over here for 8 months, just 8 months, and journeyed around America and was so alert to the things he was seeing and hearing, whether he was dealing with Native Americans or he was dealing with the geography, the vast geography of this country. He wrote this massive work, and it sold like hotcakes across France. Is it a big deal, Pat, among French Canadians? Yeah, it would have been historic, and you can still read it in French. So I don't know if you have a copy of it yet, but get them before they are taken off the shelf. But one of the statements, as I heard this statement made about liberty. We all like to be free, right? Don't you like to be free? Isn't it? It is this kind of human nature thing, and you see it, if you have had grandchildren, you see it in those precious little things as they push a hand away. They don't want somebody necessarily guiding them. They don't want somebody telling them. As a matter of fact, if you get in their face and you say, "Wyatt, what did I say?" You'd see him look everywhere but at you. We all want to be free. Liberty. We love it. This is not a 4th of July message, by the way, in a sense. Listen to what he wrote in the midst of this massive work. He said, to know freedom, he said, liberty cannot be established. Liberty cannot be established without morality. And morality cannot exist without faith. Now, he was a devout Roman Catholic in the midst of a country that was, in a sense, dominated by Catholicism. But his focus, for him, it became a highly intense personal relationship with God. And he said, once again, liberty cannot be established, not real liberty, without morality. And there's no morality without faith in a creator God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Would you just, as you open your Bibles, I'm reading from the New International Version again. And there's much that precedes this about slavery in chapter 4 and these four chapters leading up to this. But verse 1, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, is the centerpiece, even though it's not right in the middle, it is the centerpiece. It is the purpose for why he wrote this little letter to that church. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, remember there's all of these people who can't give up their Jewish traditions, and they would say there's no way into the family of God unless you come via the law, which includes all the ceremonial law and this covenant act of circumcision. And Paul says some really serious stuff here. It was for freedom that you were set free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. If you do that, this is going to make my faith complete, you Gentiles, Christ will be of no value to you at all because you don't really believe in him. You don't believe what he did on the cross was sufficient to make you right with God. You don't. Paul's not the only person to say this. Again, I tell you, verse 3, I declare every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. That's what you're really trusting, is the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. Whoa, pretty straightforward, isn't it? If you're trying to be justified, made right or righteous by the law, then you've been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has set you free. In your notes, in the opening paragraph, I just asked this question at the end of that first paragraph. What are you doing? What are you doing to stand free? Stand fast in the freedom, in that liberating freedom. Let's think for a few minutes this morning about this statement that Christ sets us free. Do you believe that? He sets us free. This is ultimate, ultimate freedom. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Come straight from the lips of Jesus. John chapter 8. Verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, he's talking to people who believe in him. They're listening. If you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" This doesn't compute. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Sin is, in other words, addictive. It's kind of addictive because you get a little bit of taste of, "Oh, that was, that kind of worked for me this time. It worked." Kind of like medicine, kind of like food. I said from the pulpit here one day, "I'm a diabetic, and I have to watch my blood sugar." And I learned that, if I eat about 4 to 6, does anybody remember what they were? I said, if you eat about 4 to 6 Trader Joe's ginger snaps, I like them. I buy them by the case almost. But, it's like medicine. My blood sugar is actually pretty, I don't know. This is probably insane. I don't know why. But somebody went out and they've been on Trader Joe's ginger snaps ever since. And lately, Dr. Dean Ortner has been buying me ginger snaps. He's trying to compete with Trader Joe's. He gets them at the 99-cent store. And I'm glad to know that every once in a while somebody, it becomes a change of behavior for someone. But, sin is like ginger snap cookies for me. Once you taste them and you like them, you just keep coming back and you keep looking for that. Ooh, that was that one. You're looking for that snap in the cookie. And is it quite the same anymore? If I keep them too long, they get a little bit stale. I'm not trying to hawk ginger snap cookies. They won't be for sale out in the foyer or out in the patio today. My point is this. See, sin is like this. You become a slave to sin. Sin has, it might give you a little bit of feedback, a little bit of reward. You say something to somebody, you use a little bit of power that you shouldn't. You use a little bit of anger and you raise your voice. You become a little bit dominant, or you have a conversation with people that are critical of other people. And you see, sin just continually, it just eats at us. It digs in. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but it belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, if the Son, he's talking about himself, sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you that that I've been in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you've heard from your father. And he goes on to say, your father, the devil. So Jesus is declaring his statement, right? His purpose, excuse me. He's stating his purpose there, but Paul is stating his purpose in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom. Christ, who said that back in John chapter 8, he wants you to be free. He came for you to be free from the trap of sin. Now, Paul is applying this to the in the book of Galatians to the law. The law had an express purpose, and that law was to point out sin. So it points out the sin. It points out our desperate need, the need of every single person on the planet for someone to help them with their sin problem. It points out and Paul actually says in this same little letter, without the law, we wouldn't, very real sense, we wouldn't even know where we were crossing the line. But the more time we spend with the Lord, we find out that law was a wonderful thing, and it really did its job like a tutor. And it said to me, "Now, John, don't go down that path." I was listening to another little podcast this morning from Pastor Tim Keller, and he was talking about all sorts of ideologies that never satisfy with us. He said, if you're looking for the answer from any system like even democracy or socialism or communism or totalitarianism, I think I found the answer in this answer to all the social ills. He said, that ideology, do you know what is at the root of the word ideology? It's the word idol. It's an idol. And you're putting your trust in something that is never going to be the answer for you. This has become like a god to you, pulling you down this path. And for the follower of Christ, you're kind of caught. And Paul is saying it was for freedom that God has set us free. So I asked the question, if you were to look at your notes in the back, the first question in the back, well, actually the second question, from what has Christ set you free? From what has Christ set you free? Well, I wonder, does anybody have some things from what has he set you free? By virtue of what he did on the cross, what did he set you free from? What? Sin. Yep, he set you from the grip of sin as he became the Lord of your life. You surrendered your life to him. What else did he set you free from? Fear, absolutely. From the fear of judgment, from the fear of being overwhelmed in life, from the fear of spending a Christless eternity away from God in a place of judgment referred to as hell. He set me free to have the hope of heaven. What else? Set me free from sin, from fear. Well, why don't you just start writing down? I'm going to ask you to actually divide that question. If you're looking at your notes right there, divide that question. From what has he set you free? That's one side of the equation. I didn't put this in, but I got thinking, this is missing in this whole question. For what has he set you free? From what and for what? You know, he's set me free, and we could start to build that list. He's set me free from the curse of the law. He set me free from the power of the flesh over me. That's not a given, but I don't have to surrender. I no longer have to surrender. It's not like just totally in my nature. He's set me free from condemnation. He set me free from the guilt of sin, and he set me free from the condemnation of the law. He set me free from domination, the domination of my sin nature over me. In other words, every moment of the day, it doesn't have to be that way. I don't have to give in. But he set me free to what? To what end has he set you free? Not only from what, but for what? For his pleasure, free to do that which is for his pleasure. What else? Peace. He's to be at peace. Is that what you said? He says it's free to enjoy the peace of God, to enjoy it, without knowing that every time I think of God, I always have to go, oh no, not God again. Serious? How could I say that when, like this morning, my regular Bible reading takes me into the prophets, and I tell you, the prophets are pretty stinking tough, aren't they? It's pretty hard to read the prophets without feeling, man, God is really serious. How can you actually be free to enjoy reading the prophets if you, can you really be free to enjoy God's presence in the midst of that? Well, sure. But you've got to be free to enjoy his presence and not just think, well, that's for somebody else. Yeah. Oh, those other guys that are the bad guys, they're going to get theirs. Well, I suppose that might make you feel good this morning. But it's much, much more than that. I'm free to let God, in the midst of all this, say to me. Now, John, you said to me this morning, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my every anxious thought. So, John, tomorrow, this morning's reading is from the book of Hosea. Hosea is a pretty serious book, isn't it? It's about a prophet who was told by God, I want you to go out and marry a prostitute. Her name is Gomer, not to be confused with Pile. You go out and marry Gomer. She's a prostitute. And this is going to be a really messy situation because you are going to be a living example, Hosea, a living example of how my people have treated me and how it feels to me and how ugly it looks to me when my people have gone after other gods. Free from what? Free to what? Free to rest in the Lord, even when I'm in the presence of a God who is heavy, sometimes very, very heavy to handle and hard to handle. He set me free to live a set-apart life. He set me free to speak up for him without fear that the people in my life who know me and know about the inconsistencies in my life, to feel still at the same time free that I'm not going to just be exposed for being a hypocrite every time I blow it or every time I act self-righteously. So Paul goes on here and he says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Free from what? Free to what? Free from the law that will, in the sense that I don't have to make my, I can't make myself righteous again by anything I do, but free to rest in what Christ has done for me. Free to rest in him. Free to be, to experience forgiveness, free to forgive others based upon his forgiveness of me, free to enjoy the adventure of following Christ and discover in the midst of all this where that would take me and where that will take you, free to enjoy that adventure. I heard someone say yesterday that the discipleship is, it's all about growing in terms of obedience. And I'm free to discover the adventure of obeying the Lord and what he commands. Rather than, oh, I have to do that now? I have to love that person. You ever recall a time when the Lord was kind of just one time after another, he's saying, Do you love that person? Well, my heart is not beating wonderfully, I'm so happy to do for that person. No, he says, just free. We are free to obey him when he says, I want you to reach out to that person right now and listen to him or listen to her. I mean, really listen. I want you to reach out to him or to her and spend time with them and help in ways that it might cost you. Keep standing firm in that freedom. One person put it this way, stay where you are in terms of your relationship with Christ. And the verse ends with, and don't be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Christ came to set you free. Well, the questions in your notes, it's going to require, I'm making lists for myself. What's it going to take for me and for you to stand firm in Christ? I know this for me, and I know this will be the case for you. We need to continue to rehearse what freedom in Christ, if that is truly a reality in my life, what road is that taking me down? Rehearse the scriptures that, like Jesus, like I shared with you today from John chapter 8. In the book of Hebrews, and I mentioned this last week, and we'll continue to mention this in our study in Galatians, in these last two chapters, it refers over and over again to, is Christ enough for you? Or do you need some form of religious tradition or routine in order to feel religious? You can add your own religion to that. In Galatians chapter 5, as we now start to move into this chapter, he's going to talk about the how-tos of living free. And these how-tos are not simple little things to just jump through, but they are amazing checkpoints for all of us. Chapters 5 and chapter 6 of Galatians. I was thinking about songs that we sing that remind us to stand firm in who we are in Christ. I typed into YouTube just, I think it was yesterday, who am I that I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. Standing firm in my freedom turns me to songs about my freedom in Christ. Sometimes we can feel kind of, I'm slipping into this old pattern, this old reliance upon trying to just fix things in my life or make my life more complete or better. And he was just reminding me yesterday, you don't have to go there. You're free. And I made you that way. Don't become entangled again, John. I encourage you to substitute your own name. Don't become entangled by any kind of yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us together today. I thank you for your word. What a wonderful thing it is. I thank you that you speak. You speak over and above our voices. that are sometimes just, that are never silent. We keep scratching away and looking for answers. Trying one thing sometimes after another to make life make a little more sense. And I pray, Father, that you would remind me and remind each of us, we are free from the guilt of sin, and we are free to live lives that are righteous in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for each person that's here today and home as well listening. I pray that we would know the reality of that song, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.